We're in a process of healing. I don't think it's going to end. We have only just begun. We are fulfilling prophecy now. The prophecies our people told 100 years ago are coming to pass. I see them before my eyes. Nothing is going to go back. We can only change. My whole idea is to have the world change their worldview, that maybe we can live with the earth instead of destroying the earth. And I'm hoping that all people can get that message.
Standing Rock Sioux Lakota historian LaDonna Brave Bull Allard. She died Saturday at the age of 64 from brain cancer. Visit democracynow.org to see more of our interviews with LaDonna Brave Bull Allard and former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark, who died Friday at the age of 93. And that does it for our show. A very happy birthday to Maria Teresena and Anna Osbeck. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for a senior news producer to join our team here in New York City. Learn more and apply today at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Remember, wearing a mask is an act of love.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Do you miss going to the theater? Looking for some drama? Then tune in for The Strange Case of Nick M., an all-new radio play by Imago Theater on Monday, May 3rd at 10 p.m. Listeners will be taken on Imago's trippy audio journey into a fragmentary world, narrated by a cocky podcaster who has unearthed a box of long-forgotten reel-to-reel tapes. So tune in on Monday, May 3rd at 10 p.m. and get ready for a very special premiere of Imago's The Strange Case of Nick M. right here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 8 a.m. It's Monday. Coming up is more talk radio with your host Cecil and Celeste. Meanwhile, KBOO Community Radio would like to thank Bob, Katrina, Jack, and Michael for donating to our spring membership drive today. Join these generous supporters and help us reach our $60,000 fundraising goal by going to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Now, stay tuned for more talk radio.
Good morning.
How are you doing this chilly, sunny Monday morning?
It is the middle of April and it's springtime.
The Ides of April, eh?
almost.
No, it's, you know, for all practical purposes, the middle of the month, you know, yeah. For us, because, you know, next Monday, it'll be near the end of the month. The time is flying by. It absolutely is. But, you know, we're trying to make the most of it by having good conversation and with meeting with you. So, you know, I want to wish everybody a happy Monday. This is the way we kick off a week and try to get our energies and our attitudes and our goals adjusted for the week. And that has taken kind of a change. It's not like we used to do it, you know? This time a couple of years ago, what we would do collectively is figure out how we're getting to the office. You know, we'd figure out, do we have the kids fed and ready to go? Is there gas in the car? Where's my laptop or my attaché case, my keys? You know, all of that is we're starting to commute to go to work, or maybe we're getting off work. You know, all those things that society, at least in the Pacific Northwest area where our signal reaches, so that they know who we're talking to and about. You know, all the things we would do as part of our regular daily lives. And that's changed now. In some ways, it's changed permanently, and in some ways, you know, there's room for wiggling back into whatever that perspective and perception of normalcy was. But Cecil had an idea, and he discussed it with me and is going to share it with you. And then I'm going to share another question about a new possible perspective on normalcy, which is it's perhaps a little different, darker, bleaker. We'll see. So I'm not going to steal your thunder. I'm going to now dance away and let you describe your topic.
Okay, but first I want to let everyone know that you are listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil. I'm here with my co-host Celeste, and you're listening to KBOO FM, your listener-sponsored radio station that's broadcasting out of Portland, but we're with signals throughout the world, and we welcome you for joining us this morning. So, as Celeste hinted, you know, there's lots of things going on, and when I had a conversation with Celeste the other day, I mentioned that, you know, I've noticed that as I scroll through social media, I'm not only seeing the usual pictures of cats and not so funny memes, but pictures of grandparents with their grandchildren and of coming together after a year of separations. And it reminded me or put me on notice that things are, for many people, beginning to change as people have access to vaccinations and more of the populations are getting vaccinated. So I wonder, as we approach this new turn in our collective social being, if we would have the chance to ponder not only about the pandemic, but about what it means to us. And as we turn this curve in our collective social lives, three questions I thought might be interesting to ponder and for people to respond to. One question about the pandemic: what did we do before the pandemic that we want to let go of? First question. Things we did before the pandemic that now, as we move out of it, possibly, what do we want to let go of? The second question: what did we do before the pandemic that we want to continue, that we want to return to? And third question: what did we start or do during the pandemic that we want to continue? So three questions: what did we do before the pandemic that we want to let go of? What did we do before the pandemic that we want to begin or to continue? And what did we start doing during the pandemic that we want to continue? And Celeste, I think you hinted at in terms of things of how people used to operate. that they might want to let go of. For an example, we have noticed that many people who are working remotely, they might want to let go of driving an hour and a half to through heavy traffic to get to an office building and work in. They might want to let go of that experience of heavy morning traffic and working in an office. So they might want to let go of that and choose let go of that. What did we do before the pandemic that we want to continue? Well, some people, you know, miss the opportunity of gathering with their friends for a meal at a restaurant. So what we might want to do again, an example might be, want to go to a restaurant and gather with my friends. And the third question, what did we start doing during the pandemic that we want to continue? What did we not do before the pandemic that we started to do that we want to continue? Well, there might be a new hobby that you encounter, a new way of doing things. So you might want to continue that stamp collection. So three general questions as we come out of the pandemic. We'd like to have your thoughts. What did we do before the pandemic that we want to let go of? What did we do before the pandemic that we want to continue? And third, what did we start doing during the pandemic that we want to continue? Give us your calls here at 503. Help me.
Oh, I didn't know it was my cue. I missed my cue. 503-231-8187. Okay. And yes, indeed, you are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metropolitan area, and Point South along the Willamette River Valley, like Philomath, it is 104.3. Along the Columbia River Gorge, it is 91.9. And of course, www.kboo.fm on the web. So that's what Cecil wanted to talk about. And I'm going to take I'm going to save my topic because I want to make sure we have enough room if people want to hit that. There are signs that, like spring, you know, the aspects of the former life are pushing through, you know, pushing through the ground and coming out. People are taking trips. They are contemplating taking cruises, the movie theaters, and what have you. But, you know, despite all that, I wonder if we are being too impatient, you know, because scenes from Miami Beach are still fresh in many people's minds, and some states are experiencing surges in their COVID infection rates, transmission rates. And I for one, you know, find it both incredible and I find it both understandable that people are running back out there as though the disease has disappeared, because many people in this current iteration of society, you know, have not experienced the kind of long-term diligence and vigilance that's necessary to stay safe in this time and this place. And so we're having people running out and congregating in Miami Beach and other places and getting infected.
Mm-hmm.
And not just infected, but passing on new variants, which are now affecting our children,
yeah,
and our grandchildren. So, you know, you want to say, well, what happened to common sense? But it's much deeper than that. You know, it's not a simple, stark, black and white dynamic. It's something a little bit more serious, because people don't have the patience and they don't have the recognition that this is a marathon, this is not a sprint in terms of dealing with this pandemic. And so I think too many people are trying to hurry back and get back to whatever this idea of normalcy is without thinking. And I, this is nothing profound. Everybody's saying this. Not like I came up with some whole new idea about why we're behaving this, but you know, the question is, you know, what are we going to do about it?
Right.
You know, hey, it's still here.
A lot of changes, and a lot of people, as you suggested, Celeste, are rushing back and to a normalcy, a thing in which they used to do, and maybe not so. You shared with me an article from the Wall Street Journal about lifestyle changes that people are making because of it. And I also came across an article today about some parents are saying, I think it was may have been in the New York Times this morning, about, you know, we want to continue some form of hybrid schooling. It was something that was forced upon us in terms of distance learning. But some parents, some communities are saying, well, we might want to continue that. That's something we started that we want to continue. And I've also realized that many people have different things or different changes that have happened in their life that cause them to say, maybe. But as people call 503-231-8187, thank you, Celeste, for rescuing me from my brain freeze a few minutes ago. let's go to James, who is on the line right now. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hanging in there. It's a cold Monday, trying to figure out which way I'm going. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. I was calling and listening, the questions you guys are asking. And, the one thing that I would like to drop that, we held before the pandemic started is that really that we're all in the same boat, because clearly this pandemic has showed us that there are many of us who are not in the same boat and that it's really just a lot of political rhetoric. another thing before the pandemic is that, that alternate working situations aren't possible. Like you were talking about, like people can remote commute, people can remote learn. While it's not feasible for everybody, the fact that it is feasible for a lot of people and that that it can be done just shows that so much of this so much of what we're built around in society is just kind of like these loose, undecided kind of social contracts that really only benefit a small few people. One thing that I've seen that started during the pandemic that I would like to keep is this large critique of capitalism. The idea that somehow this nation is blessed above all others and that, that there's some sort, like that whole Reagan thing where, the angels came down to the signing and hung out and whatever, just these childish mythos of a country that, is really just, it wasn't, it's not for everybody. And then something that happened that, before the pandemic that I'd like to go back to, I think everybody wants to, is just, being able to be with your loved ones and not have to worry about hurting them. But, another thing that started during the pandemic is that, people can organize remotely, politically. I really... as crazy as it's been, the fact that I've been able to organize with people remotely and things be successful regardless of being in person, which would obviously be better, but it's still effective, has been really eye-opening to me as well. That's really what it comes down to for me, is that, you know, as people get more vaccinations and as people continue to receive them, you know, I would really just not like to see people go back to complacency, you know, because that's where we're at right now. Even with this, mm-hmm. even with as terrible a job as Biden has been doing in many places, there's a lot of liberals who are just, they want to get back to brunch so fast. You know, I think the Trump presidency really made it hard for people who would normally be fence sitters and people who would choose to not have a dog in the fight, make them have a dog in the fight. I mean, that's my observation. A lot of stuff that I've encountered with people is really just exactly that. So,
I wonder, James, you know, your observation about, I don't know whether it's a fear or warning that people might slide back into complacency. And I wonder, you know, people often at times of crises, they say, oh, we've learned this lesson and we'll be a different people. I wonder whether or not we will slide into complacency and pretend, if not pretend, act as if these things never occurred. That's something I fear.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's what I fear too, man. You know, like, you see it all around you. You know, there's so many... you have people who are apologizing for Biden's lack of initiative in closing the concentration camps on the border. You know, the fact that he's still continuing the bombings abroad, the fact that he's not pulling support from Israel or Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things that were all these horrible bad things under the Trump presidency. We're hearing the same sort of like MAGA critique that we heard when. When people started complaining under Trump, oh, you know, you're not giving him enough time. You just need to wait and see. And it's like, at least with Trump, you could actually say that because he's never had any skin in the game directly in terms of politics. But, you know, Joe Biden's been in the game for 40 years, and we know his policies. We've seen them. You know, if you read a history book, you've seen where he stands. So this notion that somehow he was better than Trump simply because he wasn't a racist out loud, or had, you know, like 40 years worth of other, you know, stuff to cover up his racist attitudes. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, and he's showing his fence sitting, his complacency, you know, he's trying to, you know, he professes more interest in working with Democrats, with Republicans than he does in working with progressives. And even like, you know, even some of the more harsh progressives like AOC are starting to fall in line with the liberal apologism, you know. It's just sad, you know, how the system has a way of breaking people who, you know, who would otherwise have some sort of informed critique of what's going on. I mean, the fact that you don't have a critique of what's going on, that it's, you know, people still telling you that the, you know, I don't want the critique to go away. I want the critique to get louder. I want it to get more uncomfortable.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you, James. We want to open up the dialogue a little bit more for other folks, and thank you for your informed critique. Encourage other people to call in, either comment on what James has said or to address the topics that Cecil has laid forth. And thank you again, James, for your call. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Celeste Carey here with my cohort in conversation, Cecil Prescott. And we encourage you to join in. Cecil's laid out 3 points here. You know, what are you doing because of COVID or since COVID that you want to keep doing, what things were you doing before COVID that you don't want to do anymore, and what things were you doing before COVID that you want to get back to. Did I get those three right?
I believe so. And we got the drift.
Yeah.
You know, we know that so much has changed and so much will continue to change. So what has changed? What is good with the change? What do you want to look forward to going back? And what have you learned that you are able to let go of? James called and suggested that a part of the things we've learned is the fact that we are not all in the same boat, and so we have to let go of that classic critique. And an observation, the fact that remote commute is possible, and whether that's a good or bad thing, that's a reality, whether or not that's possible. One thing that I've discovered during the pandemic, is related to that, is the possibility of connecting with people across many miles, so that although we have the technology before of meeting, oftentimes, because I think we were so used to, well, if we have to have a meeting, we have to all gather in one place. And what that prevented people who were less able to gather because of economics to make the travel economics or their family situation. Now what I've learned, and I think many of us have learned over the last year or so, is that it is possible to be in connection and community and gathering with people across many miles and time zones, and be able to be in communication, and that the former barriers, economics, are no longer there, and that you can have meaningful conversation and interaction with people across different time zones. And so I think that has been helpful in terms of people gathering and sharing ideas. So Les, are there things that you are looking forward to returning, or things that you are grateful that you will not have to pick up?
Well, I'm not even sure how I feel about this. You know, I'm one of these people who's kind of a combination introvert extrovert. And so the introvert in me loves the fact that we're all cocooned away safely, and I put quotations all around that safe, because of course it has multiple definitions, some of them good, some of them bad. The extrovert in me is dying on the vine. And so, but having been a nurse, you know, I have a whole different attitude about this whole COVID situation with the variants. In effect, and reading that the South African variant is punching through the vaccination, you know, has me a bit concerned, you know, because that's what viruses do. They mutate. That's why we have to have an ongoing ritual of flu vaccinations in the fall, you know, every year, because it changes, it mutates. And so I just feel like, you know, this particular malady that we're dealing with, called unable to cope with the isolation, is driving us to make it mutate faster and pose a deadlier effect. Now, okay, that sounds like, you know, doom and gloom. So I guess the one thing that I see is that I have to fight this doom and gloom, and I don't have the same rosy aspect I used to have on life. I'd love to get rid of that, you know. Wow. I love to return to my more optimistic view of things. Yes. And that's a challenge, because it's not like it's rooted in conspiracies or lies or anecdotes or half half applicable, you know, facts, or some people might say alternative facts. It's just, you know, my observations and what I was taught in nursing school. Mm-hmm. Something that I do miss, however, is traveling to see my family, because I would get up and even if I drove, I'd drive down to California, or I'd fly or drive, you know, to other parts of the country and visit family and friends. And that I have not done. I haven't seen family members in quite a while. So, you know, those are the things. But, you know, even travel, I want to ask people, why are you such a hurry to travel to other countries? Because every other country hasn't had the same benefit of the vaccine that we have. And I find it vastly insensitive that, you know, Americans, which are live in a more profitable society, are so eager to go travel to places where they haven't had the vaccine. And, you know, I've heard friends and people on, you know, on the news traveling to foreign countries, and it's like, do you not hear what they're saying about people coming over? Don't come to our country, please. You know, for a while, Mexico closed off their borders and said, don't come. And then all these people are still flocking down there because it's cheap. You know, people are flying to other countries in, you know, Southeast Asia and even our own places like, you know, Hawaii. And the people there said, don't come. We have our challenges. But people come anyway because, well, I'm free now. I can go and you want my money. And I find that it illustrates a vast insensitivity on U.S. citizens' part that they will go and give the money when maybe these people don't really want you to come. They just need to want your money, but not you. And I'm amazed that all these so-called enlightened people are rushing over to these countries or these areas of the country, our country, when we don't need that. We don't need people down in Florida. It's one of the hot spots, you know, but no, I'm going down there because I'm free, you know. And so that's one thing that, you know, kind of surprises me, and I wish people would do, is walk their talk a little better about being woke or being considerate and concerned. I don't see that, and so that feeds into my doom and gloom. But that's, you know, that's me. I'm, you know, I'm trying to get back into the sunshine.
Okay. Well, let's hear your thoughts about the pandemic. What things do you want to return to? What things are you willing to let go of? And what things have you started to do that you will continue to do? Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and Frances is on the line. Good morning, Frances.
Hi. Well, I woke up this morning to my son calling me to tell me about another young man that was shot and killed by the police in the suburb of Minneapolis.
You know what, Francis? I can't handle that today. I can't. Cecil and I talked about that. I can't do it. And I know it is important. I just can't. I can't. That has took me over.
Yeah. But continue, Francis, yeah, about Dante Wright. Not Dante Wright. I forgot his last name up. But continue, Francis.
Did we lose her?
We might have lost. Oh, Frances is off. I hope when your response to Frances might not have. Well,
I hope it didn't dissuade her from thinking it's important. You're right. It's Dante Wright, though. It is important, but it just broke my heart, and I don't know how many people are following George Floyd. I don't know how many people are following that. I can't, because it breaks my heart. You know, at my particular age, I've seen a lot of people shot and killed by the police, and I've experienced some that were unfairly shot and killed, and I've experienced some that were shot and killed that I know. And after a while, it takes a toll on you psychically.
And that's one of the things, you know, and I appreciate you calling, Francis. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And I... I'm gonna turn this over to you, Cecil, because I just have a moment here.
Well, you know, part of the challenge, and you know, I woke up this morning and heard about Dante's right killing, and what was striking to me was he was on his phone with his mother, and he said the police are stopping me. She was talking to him, the phone went dead, and she called back, and his girlfriend answered the phone and said, they shot Dante. But Francis is back on the line again. Francis, I hope we didn't cut you off. Good morning, Francis.
No, I guess your engineer cut me off because you said you didn't want to talk about that. But I don't really want to talk about it. I just want to say that normal is not cool. Right now,
I agree.
This stuff was going on before, after, during the pandemic, and it's not okay. It's absolutely absurd. And this young man was stopped on a pretext stop because he had air freshener hanging from his rearview mirror. That's why he was stopped. Mm-hmm. I am so tired of this, and I know everyone else is too. And I know it hurts to talk about it, but I'm through not talking about it. Something needs to happen. This is wrong.
Right.
It's been wrong. Kendra James, Keith Notice. I mean, every city in this country has the same kind of scenarios going on. It's not okay. And meanwhile, they're trying to prove that George Floyd was high on drugs and that's why he died. Give me a break. All right, you guys take care.
Okay. You too.
Okay. Thank you, Francis. And one thing that, you know, one thing that has continued through the pandemic is this murderous actions of many police departments and the continued murdering and killing of black people. That has not stopped during the pandemic and has continued. And if there's anything I would want to not continue, is the killing of black lives. Our number is here, 503-231-8187. We're talking about the pandemic today. We're talking about how people transition and what things have you started that you want to continue because from the pandemic, what things have you learned? What thing are you looking forward to returning? Celeste mentioned being able to just get up at a moment's notice and go and travel and see family and friends. Is that something you're looking forward to? What things have changed? I noted that many grandparents are overjoyed and posting pictures of their reunion with their family, with their grandchildren, you know, whom they have not seen in over a year. What that meant. And Celeste, you shared with me a story about a man and his wife. Would you share about the man and the wife who was in hospital?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I saw this in on our local news or if it was a national story. But there's a couple who had been high school sweethearts, and his wife had developed Alzheimer's, and they've been married, I think, at least 50 years, and he would go visit her every day, but they were separated, you know, because he was outside of the care facility, and of course, she inside, And sometimes she would recognize him through the window, sometimes not, but it didn't deter him from visiting daily and trying to interact with his wife. And it was a poignant reunion when he was able to actually get in and hug her again and connect with her. And it was heartwarming about the enduring strength of love between people. And I can appreciate how strong those bonds are and how they pull at our hearts and our minds and making us want to reconnect with the people that we share those bonds with. I do so appreciate it. And seeing that man tugged at my heart even, you know, because even though I didn't know the couple, because I understand that sometimes that's our strength. That's our strength and our fuel to keep going through difficult situations. And so that was something that I see many people, you know, straining at their constraints, restraints from regrouping and reconnecting with folks. And that was really important, I think, emblematically, because it pointed out how that's the glue that holds us together, and that's the thing that we have to strive to protect is those meaningful connections.
I wonder if people are realizing that in new ways. Certainly there's the sense of, oh, I want to connect with people, but I wonder whether or not we've gained a deeper sense of the connection or awareness of the connections we had with others that maybe we took for granted, or did not realize the depth of it or how it enrich our lives, and maybe we enrich the lives of others. Maybe one thing that's coming out of the pandemic is a recognition of community and the importance of community and holding on to it in new ways. Let's see if others have thoughts at 503-231-8187, and let's talk with Joan. Good morning, Joan. Thank you for
calling. Good morning.
Hi there. Mm-hmm. Good morning. Yes, I love this show. So I wanted to say something about pandemic and what's happening, because that's the topic. So I hurt my wrist, and I needed some help from a friend, and I called up a friend, and the friend came over and drove me around. It was lovely. And I realized that I've had my vaccination, the friend had her vaccination, and therefore we could sit in the car together, and she could help me, and we were comfortable, and we didn't have to worry about that, at least between the two of us. And something simple like that means a lot to me, that I could get together with a friend and sit in the car, and we had our masks on, but that we were being normal and that we didn't have to worry about giving each other some horrible disease because we were both vaccinated. And that's something, you know, and I think we really do need to be gradual about this and appreciate the simple things that are coming back. And I totally agree with Celeste that this is not the time to be thinking about doing stuff that's really inappropriate, because people, you know, there are variants out there, and there are also people who are not following the rules. And I want this to stop, and we all need to work on it together. That's my thought.
Thank you. That's so important. You know, simple things that we might not have considered before, just sitting with your friend in the car and being able to be with one another. And also, I think the point that you made, that Celeste made earlier, is in terms of doing this gradually. Sonia chimed in saying very gradual. Hope there isn't a rush to let's hurry up and get back to normal. Thank you, Joan, for sharing your thoughts.
Yes, thank you.
And I'm glad you were able to be with your friend, and your friend was able to help you Let's speak with John. Good morning, John.
Hi. I'm going to stay on the topic of COVID, but not at a very positive angle. I was listening to another radio program and late at night, and then so I looked up some of their information. You know, everybody's into conspiracies, but this comes from, well, we have the New England Journal of Medicine in the United States, and this comes from The Lancet, which is an English version. And they concluded a study over a year with something like 300,000 people were in the study. I mean, they just kept track of everybody that's got COVID. And what they're seeing, about almost 34%, which is about a third of people who survived COVID, you know, have brain damage. You know, I mean, they're, you know, like, you know, the land of, you know, the Walking Dead, practically. Not just physically, but mentally. But there's certain degrees of this, you know, like, I don't know, of how COVID affects different people. Okay, well, slash forward to what I was kind of thinking, of all these mass shootings happening everywhere over the last 4 or 5 months. And I was wondering that some of these people who actually had COVID, but, you know, got through it or whatever, but their brain is operating differently because of the virus, that some of this upsurge of this violence is due to, you know, this COVID, you know, messing with people's brains. I, you know, maybe physically, but maybe even, you know, psychologically. But, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, it just sounds like the invasion of the body snatchers. Because, you know, I've never seen, like, 6 mass shootings in a row. I mean, this is bizarre.
Yeah. I wonder whether it's not so much, it's related to the virus, not because people have the virus. It's how our society responds to things such as this.
Well, yeah. Well, that's
the stress, the stressors of changes. You know, the stressors could be affecting people, as well as the possibility that they could be suffering from it asymptomatically. And that's another thing, you know, that we're dealing with is, as you said, how it manifests in some people's body. If you were asymptomatically suffering and you had mild symptoms, you know, when you did come down with it and you thought you had a cold or something else, for all we know, you could have fought off some of the worst of COVID but still succumbed and still have COVID mind or COVID brain, you know. Who knows?
Yeah.
This is something we won't know for a while until we're able to do some
but
mass
in the meantime,
testing.
Well, in the meantime, look what's going on. I mean, just gratuitous violence. I mean, beyond them.
Well, we are a violent country.
Yeah, I understand that, too. But it just seems it's been exacerbated by, you know, it's like the COVID is the icing on the cake, you know.
Mm-hmm. that's an unfortunate possibility. And I chuckle with you at that mixed metaphor, you know, a bad thing with a good. But I hear you. Because I'd like to think a cake is good. Indeed. But, you know, that's a valid concern. You know, what are the things that we're doing that prevent us from recognizing that there are other effects that this disease may be having on us? Are we not looking at them? Are we looking at them but not testing it properly? I don't know. But I do want to welcome people to call in. It's 8:47, coming up at 9 o'clock is the Old Mole Variety Hour, and more here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. And if you enjoy programming, if you enjoy being able to call in and talk live with your electronic neighbors, please support KBOO. You can do so by going to www.kboo.fm/give, G-I-V-E, and support your community connection and keeping strong bonds, communicating with your neighbors electronically, and sharing information, ideas, and entertainment, all here on kboo.fm. The phone number here at More Talk Radio is 503-231-8187. And we're talking about the things that you want to give up that you used to do pre-COVID, the things that you used to do and you want to do again pre-COVID, and then the things that you have learned post-COVID that may want to keep, like not driving into work. That would be lovely.
And let's go to Dale. Dale, good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Yes,
good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to say something. First of all, this vaccine is not proven safe and effective. It's only authorized for emergency use. And according to even Dr. Fauci, it won't prevent you from getting it or spreading it. And the long-term effects are unknown. I just listened to a long dissertation by Dr. Michael Yagan, who was former vice president.
Hello?
Hello?
You faded out there. Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. So, you know, you mentioned that. It's interesting because that's just what I had said to Cecil in our chat, is that yes, you can give or catch COVID despite the vaccination, and people don't seem to understand that. You know, it just will lessen the severity or lessen the chance that you might get it.
It also
saying that it prevents you
from
getting
it. A lot of very dangerous side effects. You seem to have not done any research on this thing at all. There are hundreds of doctors and scientists who are laying out the problems with this sort of thing. You know, they tried to develop these mRNA vaccines for years, and whenever they tested them on animals, the animals all died.
Well,
is that the kind of thing you want to inject in yourself?
I'm going to ask that we move on from this conversation because I don't want to go down. I think it's important to discuss about this. But the point, in fact, over 100 million Americans have received the vaccine. Very few have had long-lasting impact from it. What are the long-lasting effects from it? Who knows? But I think as a matter of health safety, I want to encourage people to, when they're able, to get the vaccine. Our number is 503-231-8187, and it continues. One of the things that we've learned from this period of COVID is the multiple sources of information, I have in air quotes, that people receive. And one thing that I want, and you know, I think it's from a, because we don't know. But I think I want to be cautious of people going down that dungeon of conspiracy theory, which is so easy to do in your house.
Well, you know, I was going to say, the truth be told, many of the vaccines we get will have an effect on someone, because our systems are different in intricate ways. And so our knowledge is not broad enough to guarantee that this is going to work on everybody, because we don't know how to account for those myriad of intricate differences. But this is better than us dying en masse. And I'm sorry to be so blunt. You know, this is what we have, and we're using this tool, and we have to continue to improve it as we can. Because, you know, when I can, I am going to get the shot. And Cecil's had his, and I'd rather take my chances with the vaccine than to take my chance with the disease. I mean, if I have a choice.
And let's go to Chris right now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for cutting off that despicable person who try to spread.
Well, let's not call them names. Maybe they actually believe this, you know, but let's call them a misinformed person.
Okay, I agree. Thank you. Well, I'm not too fond of these of people talking about staying at home when so many can't. You know, the grocery store needs people, and all these retail places are hiring people. And so, I don't know, these lucky few that can maybe stay home, they're all at the upper end. They're all talking about top managers and stuff.
Right.
So why should we care about these people? They
well,
don't care
not,
about
not all the people are top managers and such. You know, I mean, my daughter is a healthcare professional, and she has to work. My sister, my youngest sister, is a teacher, and she cannot go into work. And she's not like top, she's not top of the heap either, you know. And there, you know, there are people that I work with that are not highly paid, highly skilled, top of their career professionals that work from home. So there are a lot of, you know, rank and file people. But I mean, I hear your point, but it's, you know, there's a lot of people who are making less than probably the cashiers and people at the gasoline pumps, but they have to work online because that's what the option is.
Well, they will be called back. I mean, once the restrictions are lifted, they'll be called back just like anyone else. I don't know if they're not going to have a choice to stay home. Schools are going to be open. Right. Kids are going to be sent, and so they're going to be returned to the classroom, right? So I don't know what this option you're talking about is going to be. It's
I tell you, where I work, there are people who will not be coming in.
Well, you used to be a nurse, right? You used to be a nurse. They're mm-hmm. people, and most of them, a lot of them, have gotten the COVID. They've had no choice but to go in, right?
Oh yes, I totally agree that the frontline people. I mean, I hold the frontline people up. I don't care if they're a gas station attendant or, you know, a checkout person or whatever. I hold them in high esteem, you know, because they have to contend with that fear every day when they go in, and they don't know, you know, if this is the day they're going to catch it or not, and maybe they're too young to get the shot, you know, or the lines are too long and they can't get one yet. So I totally hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you have to take these jobs. If you're offered a job, you can't turn it down, even if it's a, you know, a cashier. You have to take it, or you won't be able to apply for unemployment.
Yes.
So
yes.
A lot of people have no choice, in other words. So I'm not too fond of these people that have these choices, but others don't, because I believe in equality for all and safety for all. And obviously, we're not considering safety for all in retail situations.
But, you know, don't be too mad at people who have to stay home, because some of them, maybe that's not their it's not in their control, you know. And equality for all would mean everybody could either stay home or everybody could be safe and go to work. But, you know, it's not the people, it's the system in many ways.
Oh yeah,
but
I know. Well, that's
yeah,
that's true. Well, I'm just wondering why the system protects some people but not others. So that's the question. Yeah. Well, thank you.
And I think that's a great point you make, and
yes.
In terms of the inequity, one thing the pandemic has shown is the inequities in this economic and system, and in terms of access to health care, it has revealed it a lot. We have a couple of minutes left. Let's see if we can get Annalise on the line. Annalise, you have about a minute and a half.
Oh, that's enough. Thank you, Cecil. And such wise words, Celeste. I cannot articulate myself that well. However, last Friday, I got my second jab, and so I'm fully vaccinated now, and I felt relief. But I'm still very cautious and wear masks. And on the 19th, that happens to be the first day, I was able to register my 3 grandchildren that are in the 17 and 18 year group, 16 to 18 mm-hmm. year group, and they will be relieved to get their first shot. and I had very, I was felt a little tired, that's all, and that's nothing new, because I will get tired more easily than I used to. So I'm very optimistic about all the vaccinations that are coming. It's not real easy to get in all the time, but it's worth waiting for, and so that's what I have to say about that. And I feel exactly the same as you did about what the thing that you couldn't handle talking about, because I wanted to make myself believe that I didn't hear what I heard, because it's so upsetting and so traumatizing. But anyway, I wish everybody a very healthy and happy, beautiful day. And what I did before, I'm continuing to do. I try and grow a garden, and have as many vegetables as I can muster over the year, and freeze my berries and things like that. And
alrighty,
love my people. So thank you. Thank you for being there. And of course, thank you, Sonia. And till next week. Bye.
Alrighty. Well, thank you. Thank you, Annalise. So, you know, that's the perfect goodbye. It's like, do what you can to make this better. Tend your life and your sphere of influence like a garden. You know, weed out all of the unnecessaries and keep in the good things. And sometimes it might even be a good weed, healthy weed. But more importantly, save some space for a smile and joy.
You are
here
listening
your
to
community
K-B-O-O
connection, KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public